be very long now before you'll hear those sounds in Kalamazoo Central Auditorium as the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra prepares to start its first concert of the 1949-1950 season. So that our listeners may know more about what's ahead, we invited the orchestra's president, conductor, and business manager to visit our studio last Monday. This is a recording made at that time. First, here's Winship Todd, the president of the Kalamazoo Symphony Society. Mr. Todd, it must take a great deal of work to keep a symphony society going.
Yes, it does, Dr. Dunbar. There are a number of different items that have to be looked after. Of course, the one we're most interested in right now is the campaign, which is currently going this week. In addition to that, musicians have to be obtained, orchestrations, soloists, and all the paraphernalia which surrounds an undertaking of this size. Of course, the bulk of that falls on the business manager and the conductor, and they in turn depend largely on volunteers. I frankly feel as though, as president, I have the easiest job in the whole organization.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, Mr. Todd, because I imagine that you have to spend many hours at it also. Tell me, why do you put all this time on the orchestra? How does the orchestra benefit the city?
Well, in a number of ways, but I think foremost is the fine music which is offered to the people in the city. This music is expertly played by their fellow citizens and expertly directed. They also have an opportunity to hear outstanding soloists and fine musical pieces. And in addition, I think that it's a great advantage to have a civic orchestra of this nature for musicians. Anyone with a musical talent has its outlet here, and I think it's a great opportunity for them.
Mr. Todd, how large is your budget this year?
Our budget is $25,000, Dr. Dunbar.
Well, where are you going to get all that money?
Well, that's a good question. But normally, our money comes from the sale of memberships. And memberships, of course, go with the purchase of a season ticket. And we have our campaign underway this week to gather the membership, and which we expect will take care of about two-thirds of our budget.
Let's see. Who is in charge of that campaign, Mr. Todd?
Mrs. John Fetzer is chairman.
I understand that you hope to broaden somewhat the responsibility for supporting the orchestra this year.
Yes, we do. We feel that our orchestra can carry a larger audience now, and we're taking the drive out into the community in hopes of increasing the size of our audience.
Do you think that there are enough people who enjoy serious music to make possible this attainment of broadening the base of the orchestra, so to speak?
Oh, I think so. I can only speak for myself. I'm a layman when it comes to music, and yet I get great enjoyment out of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and many of my friends with no more musical talent than I have get equal enjoyment out of it.
Well, don't you think that the increase in the number of school bands and orchestras and the amount of music that people listen to on the radio have had a great deal to do with interesting more people and enabling more people to understand serious music?
I believe that's very true, and I'd also like to mention in that connection the Junior Symphony, an organization of younger people who have their own symphony orchestra and their own symphony concerts. They provide us with fine musicianship.
Well, the people of the city are certainly indebted to you and your associates on the Board of Trustees of the Symphony, Mr. Todd, for the immense amount of time and thought that you are putting into this undertaking. Now I'd like to bring to our microphone Mr. Norman Carver, who is the business manager of the orchestra. And I'm going to ask you, Mr. Carver, to tell our listeners something about this campaign. It starts this week, I think Mr. Todd said.
Yes, that's correct, Dr. Dunbar. Monday, September 12th to the 19th has been officially designated as Symphony Membership Week.
Is there any particular goal?
Well, we hope to get at least 2,000 members, if possible, this year. Although that means almost doubling the membership of the past season.
Well, that means that quite a burden is put on those who are conducting this campaign.
Well, we have a pretty highly organized group, and we hope to interview as many people that are interested as possible. We have almost 100 workers in the field, divided into different divisions. There's one division that will secure sustaining memberships and special gifts. And then there's a group from the Women's Committee of the Symphony Orchestra. There's a men's division, and there's also a division which will make an effort to contact all the schools, including the colleges. However, it's not necessary for people to wait to be interviewed. They can get a membership by merely writing into the Symphony headquarters or by calling the Symphony headquarters. And particularly after the campaign is over, members are still welcome, and welcome anytime during the season, for that matter.
What are the prices of the memberships, Mr. Carver?
Well, the sustaining memberships, which are designed for those who want to give additional financial support to the orchestra, range from $25 on up. We have some as high as $500 or $1,000. Subscription memberships cost $10. They're designed for those who want to buy a season ticket and contribute somewhat to the financial budget of the symphony. A regular season ticket costs $5 plus tax, and students are admitted for just half of that, $2.50 plus tax.
I suppose Mrs. Fetzer has her various teams organized in terms of particular sections of the city that they're going to cover?
Well, insofar as that's possible, mostly it's a friendly sort of a campaign where the workers endeavor to contact those with whom they're specifically acquainted. Although we do have a great many prospects that are arranged in sections of the city.
Mm-hmm. When's the first concert, Mr. Garver?
First concert is on Sunday, October 16th, in the Central High School Auditorium at 4 o'clock. And I might mention in connection with the concerts that there is a nursery run in connection with the concerts, so that those having small children who might wish to attend and can't obtain a babysitter can feel that their children will be well taken care of if they're brought to the nursery at the concert at the Central High School Auditorium.
Well, that's a very convenient innovation. And that's a fine report, Mr. Carver. Good luck for the coming year. Well, now I'd like to introduce to our listeners, if they don't know him already, Mr. Herman Felber, who is the orchestra's conductor. The musical affairs of the orchestra are under his direction. Now, Mr. Felber, how many years have you been the orchestra's conductor?
Well, this is going to be my 16th year.
Well, well, you're quite a veteran.
You bet I am.
How do you go about it to build a season's programs, Mr. Felber?
Well, usually after every season I'm tired, and it takes me a little time to sort of become adjusted to the new idea and try to find new material. And it usually takes me until about the 4th of July to get in that particular mood. But you would like to know in the way I pick out my programs, is that it?
Yes, I suppose you have to have a symphony for each program and an overture, and you have to think of the way the programs are arranged. No,
that's right. We must find the compatibility of compositions, let's put it. In other words, I try to find, like an overture that we're going to use on our first program, the Phaedra Overture of Massenet, which has a great deal of popular appeal and very easy to listen to. Then, in order to sharpen the orchestra, I'm going to use the Jupiter Symphony of Mozart, which gives the great deal of the weight to the strings, and it really means a great deal of rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then, in order to give one a touch of modernism, you know, we have an outstanding composer in Great Britain today called Benjamin Britten. Quite an appropriate name for a Briton.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyhow, we're going to put on a serenade featuring a tenor voice and solo French horn for strings and orchestra.
Well, that's certainly something unique, isn't it?
It certainly is, and if I'm not mistaken, this is about the third time it's being played in the United States.
That should be a real treat. It's good music, I
think.
It's
fine music, but it's ultra-modern, but I'm quite sure our audience is going to like it a great deal. Well, now we've touched on the moderns, we've touched on the classics. Now, necessarily, I must have something that our younger people are going to like. So I put in the Americans of Paris, of which I understand you're going to use a part of that as the theme song for us for this particular concert.
All right, that's a good suggestion. Suppose we listen to a little of it right now.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Thank you.
So that's going to end up the first program.
That is.
That really should end it with a bang. Who are the soloists this year, Mr. Felber?
Well, on our first concert, it's going to be John Toms, the tenor voice, and Colleen Cosgrove, French horn. The second program, we have a young pianist who's going to play the solo part in the First Symphony of Vincent Dundee. And I doubt very much whether we've ever had anything of Vincent Dundee in Kalamazoo. No. And he's a marvelous composer of the French school and should be heard more frequently. And the third concert, of course, that's our Christmas concert, which we dedicate to the children. However, we are opening with the Eroica Overture, the Eroica Symphony of Beethoven, because it's been presented to us for a number of years ago, and I haven't ever found just the right spot for it.
Well, that should be a very fine thing for a Christmas concert.
Well, it will, and we have things like the Cinderella Suite and by Eric Coates and things that are lighter for the children to end the program. Well, the next program after that, we're going to have Josephine Antoine of the Metropolitan Opera, and she's quite a singer and also an American. You see, I'm featuring Americans because Americans don't have any place to go in this world anymore. You know, they can't use us in Europe because there isn't any money to pay for them. So naturally, we're just stymied.
So, well, so you're favoring American artists?
I certainly am, because I think they need favoring. I don't think that they have a place to go, so we're trying to create it here in Kalamazoo.
Well, that's a very wonderful idea, and some of them are comers, I presume, just as well as the Europeans.
Oh, yes, not only that, though, many of them have arrived. The only thing is they can sell a foreign artist much cheaper than they can an American artist, you know.
Now, how about the orchestra personnel, Mr. Felber? Are there many vacant places this year?
Well, I really don't know. This is being Monday, and I understand this is being broadcast on Wednesday. I'll find out in about 5:30 tonight.
Oh, your tryouts are this afternoon.
That's right.
Can anybody that wants to try out?
Well, yes, anyone can try out. We're just hoping they use good judgment, that they're not too...
amateurish,
that's
huh?
That's right.
Speaking of amateurs, how do you balance up the amateurs and professionals in the orchestra?
Well, there isn't any particular balancing up as far as that angle is concerned as the amateur and professional. However, I usually do mix my players in such a way that not all of the good players are sitting down in front of the orchestra. I put people that I feel that are compatible to sit on the same stand as far as violins and strings are concerned.
Oh,
it makes a better team.
You don't rate them according to ability.
Oh, no. Because they're sitting on the second stand doesn't mean that they are the next best after the concert master. Yes.
Oh.
No, I don't do that because we need good players in the back, too.
Well, that's very interesting. How many out-of-town players do you have to bring in?
Well, we are very fortunate. We only bring in 7 in comparison with many of the other orchestras.
How does our orchestra stack up, Mr. Felber, with that of other cities?
Well, they're doing very fine work. Of course, we're being crowded because a lot of other orchestras are popping up in many of these smaller communities, and they're really working hard.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Felber, for these interesting words about our Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Kalamazoo is proud of its symphony orchestra. It's a fine and important part of our community living. I'm sure that Mrs. Fetzer and her associates in the campaign are going to find the people of Kalamazoo are ready and willing to give their full support to our orchestra.